How do people have a baby?
What's gay?
Out of your Bible.
What is a period?
What is transgender?
What is a condom?
What is a sperm?
What is poop? I can't say it. What is puberty?
What would it be like to be a boy?
But would a boy want to know what it's like to be a girl?
What is sex?
What is sex?
Welcome to What is Sex? Each episode, we will discuss one anonymous question we've been asked by a kid while teaching sex ed. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Izzy. We're two of the co-founders of Yes, which is a nonprofit that provides sex-positive, intersectional, consent-based sexuality education to people of all ages. We believe it's never too early to start having these conversations. So if you want to learn more about us, you can check out our website, yes2consent.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at yes2consent, and have these conversations with us. You may have noticed that the sound quality on this podcast has gone downhill since we've been recording in quarantine. And that's just because, you know, each of us is recording in our own home on our own devices with different access to equipment. So each of our voices might sound really different from the other. And we hope it's not too jarring. And we really appreciate you bearing with us as we figure it out. And hopefully the content will make up for it. So thanks for continuing to listen.
So today we have a friend of mine on the podcast, my friend Pierce Jordan. Pierce is a musician in a band called Soul Glow, G-L-O, and a volunteer for Beyond the Bars, where he mentors incarcerated and non-incarcerated young people in Philly. Welcome, Pierce.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to, this is fun.
This is the first time I've seen your face in a long time.
Yeah, I know. You chopped it off.
I chopped off my hair, I did, yeah.
I know, it looks good.
Yeah, clarifying, not your face.
Yeah, hair.
Would be a really dark turn.
Alright, so Pierce, do you want to tell us a little bit about your band?
Basically, we're just like a punk band, and I sing about black shit, which is like apparently unique, and you know, oh, by the way, I'm black, and for everybody who can't, but yeah, it's just been nice. We've existed since 2014. We've gone through a lot of interesting times, just weird situations, meeting amazing people. You know, it's been one of the most validating instances of creation in my life.
That's great. Have you written any songs about your penis?
I guess I'll say I've written songs about, you know, things I've realized about what it means to be a man and what it means to be, like, you know, a man in the United States of America. And I, you know, like, for certain men, your penis is tied a whole lot to that. But I wouldn't say I've written about my penis specifically. On the other hand, there is a song specifically that's coming out that is like kind of a departure, I guess, for me as like a writer, because I usually don't write about sex like at all. But yeah, there's this one song that is like directly about sex and like having sex in public, and my friend Angel is featured on that song.
So today's question is, why do I have a hairy penis? Great question. So Pierce, what we like to think about when we reflect on these questions and try to answer them is, what do you think this child was getting at? What do you think maybe the question behind the question is? And let's just start from there.
I feel like depending on who this person is, like maybe they're wondering, like, about the type of hair and, like, why their hair is the way that it is. Like, when I was when I was in high school, when I was in high school, like, the trend for, like, dudes, and I feel like it's still a trend, because we still do it. It's like just like sagging your pants and just like specifically wearing them like right, having like where they should be at your hips, having that right in that, this is if you have ass, right in that crease, you know, where your butt cheek hits your leg, letting it sit there. That's if you wear it right, you know what I'm saying? People actually don't know this. People don't know that there's different ways, there's real ways to sag your pants so that it cups your booty the right way. And niggas do think about this, and it is important that like because they want to act like they don't, but they do. They do. But, so anyway, when I was, like, wearing my pants that way, I used to get a lot of ingrown hairs, like, a lot of ingrown pubic hairs, and that shit was unpleasant, and I didn't understand where it was coming from for the longest time until I realized, like, the friction from, like, you know, because I would still wear a belt, so I would, like, so the friction from my belt, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if that person is going through that, because I suspect many young men go through that, like, that could be a reason.
That's a struggle I never even knew about.
Yeah. Well, you know what's, so you know what's interesting also, I don't know if you've ever, this was like a skateboarding trend, but, like, the skaters, like, used to, like, use shoestrings as belts. I don't know if they still do. Yeah, I was never really, like, that close to the skateboarders because I couldn't. But they like, I just have a hunch maybe that, like, it could have been because of that. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you want to have extra shoestrings in case, you know, you pop one while you're out. But I feel like, yeah, you're out there, you're working, you're sweating, you know what I'm saying? It's not a good combination down there. It's really not.
I love that.
If this helps you think a bit further about it, the kid who asked this question was in fourth or fifth grade.
Well, in that case, I think that that's kind of the age where you start to just get curious about what the hell is happening down there. So it's like, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, personally, like, you know, I was a little bit curious before them. I think that's also when pubic hair starts to grow is like fifth grade, you're like, what, a 9? 10, 11. Okay, 10, 11, you said? Yeah, so after that, you know, it's when the hair starts to hit, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, it could just be like, what the fuck? And, like, I can get that. I would say, you know, like, that you know, that's also likely trying to piece together the... This is interesting. This is like Guess Who. I'm trying to build, like, a profile of this person, this, like, silhouette in my mind. But I'm going to tell you also, you know, depending on the kind of hair that you have growing around your genitals, like, again, that can create issues, because also I've noticed, you know, just over time and just having, you know, different sexual partners, that your pubic hair can be a different texture than the hair on your head.
Definitely.
And, you know, that might be confusing as hell.
Yeah, what I was thinking for the question behind the question is kind of along those lines of just, I think the biggest question behind the question is just, am I normal? Like, something's happening to me, and is it normal?
First of all, like, if something's happening to you, you as a human being, even if what's happening to you is rare, it's not normal. I feel like this is not necessarily something that we, like, stress enough in, with, like, young people, is like, you can have an experience, for one, that is, like, completely foreign to your understanding, and even when you try to find out information about it, you can, there's nothing there. That still doesn't mean that, like, you, there's, like, there needs to be some reason for your ostracization or something like that. Just as a person in this world, nothing that happens with your body should be a reason for your ostracization. And whether or not that happens to you or not is still, like, up for debate, because it's like, this is just like life on planet Earth. But just for the sake of, like, you know, your humanity and, like, remembering your worth when motherfuckers try to test you, is like, you know, you gotta know that, like, there's nothing, like, even like nothing that happens with your body, first of all, is really even anybody else's fucking business, but second of all, is not something that you need to feel like is not normal. Even if something is uncommon, it's still normal. We just might not be at a point in, like, history where we can even use science to find out what the hell is happening with you.
That's so powerful. Right, because the truth is, what's normal about bodies is that they're all really different and often do really wacky stuff. Like, most things that happen to bodies are kind of weird. So, yeah, I think that's a great point that I really wish someone had said to me when I was a child.
Yo, same.
And then even beyond that, pubic hair is like very common and normal.
Right.
So, and a lot of people don't think to talk to kids about pubic hair before they're at the age when pubic hair would grow. Like, a lot of people don't think, like, I should talk about 7-8-year-olds about pubic hair because it's coming soon. So it could very easily be a total shock.
Interesting. Yeah, it's true. And what's funny is that when you really, like, think about it, pubic hair has... It's not as... I can't believe I'm about to say... This is... You know, sometimes you just, like, wake up and you're just like, I wonder what new thing I could experience today. Like, so what... Like, do you feel like sometimes you just feel like you've experienced it all?
Yeah.
I never thought I would ever say the sentence I'm about to say, which is, pubic hair is a lot more complex than you think. Like,
there's... Oh, definitely.
There's a history behind pubic hair. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's like, there's, like, just so much shit you can, like, learn about the different ways people have viewed pubic hair over time. And I mean, like, learning about the different ways people have tried to use it, because yes, people have tried to use it for things, and people have used it for things.
Like what?
Like witchcraft.
Yeah, voodoo.
I mean, you know that movie Midsommar?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a pubic hair ritual and that shit. For people who used to grow, like, a whole lot of it, they would shave it off and make wigs and sell it, like, pubic wigs to sell to other people so they could have pubic hair. On God, that is true.
Oh, like a merkin.
Merkins, exactly.
I didn't know that existed. I love that. So, wait, so it's like a little toupee for your genitals?
Honestly, yeah. I learned about merkins when I was 14 years old because that's what 14-year-old boys talk about.
Sure. Of course.
Another pubic hair thing that's coming to my mind is Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court justice, put a pubic hair on Anita Hill's Coke can as a way of sexually harassing and intimidating her. So that's like, that was probably my first introduction to the concept of pubic hair, was hearing that story.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah, famously, another use of pubic hair is to treat your employees terribly.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like a really horrible story that I have is this one time. This either happened to somebody I was friends with, or they did it to somebody. I think it happened to, I don't know. But anyway, like somebody, basically it involves somebody putting pubic hair on a sandwich.
Oh, and
as a form of attack.
Have you seen the movie Waiting? With Dane Cook, I think.
Oh,
that was my
yes.
first understanding of pubic hair.
He put pubic hair in a sandwich?
No, they're putting pubic hair into someone's steak and potatoes who sent it back with sort of an attitude.
Oh, wow. So pubic hair is a weapon in all of these stories.
Yeah. Weaponized pubic hair.
We've talked about this before on the podcast, so not to sound like a broken record, but... I definitely watched porn before I had pubic hair, and I don't recall ever seeing pubic hair in the porn that I had seen. So I was definitely in the camp of, what is this? Why is it happening to me? And also, why is it so different from the hair on my head? And, you know, shaving it off immediately. And the pain that comes with that, and the pain of it growing back.
Yeah.
And when in my life I stopped doing that. I mean, I was shaving everything. I remember shaving my arms when I was younger. I wish someone had brought me aside.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing about body hair in general is, like, even once you... if you do get good puberty education, so you know you're going to get pubic hair, arm hair, leg hair, there's still always hair in places you don't expect. Like, I have a friend who was telling me that her sex ed teacher in middle school actually told them that they could grow hair on their nipples, which she was so comforted by because she had hair on her nipples. But, like, what sex ed teachers say that? Like, what sex ed teachers say you might have hair on your butt? You might have hair, like, literally on your toes. Like,
you might have hair in your butt.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. Hair can grow anywhere. And as you said, Pierce, it's all normal, but we really don't get that message.
Yeah.
I would have loved to know that a lot of people had hairy assholes. That would have comforted me. So well.
Over time, obviously, like, people's different sexual attitudes surrounding pubic hair has shifted. How it's been looked at as, like, part of fashion, I think, is definitely something that is definitely, like, it's just, like, worth talking about, because it's like hair in our society is very, very important. Genitals in our society are very, very important. So together, you have, oh shit, something we can't talk about. <It's>
like, yeah, very political, pubic hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's changing over time is so tied to an entire industry of hair removal. There's a lot of companies that really depend on people's feelings about their pubic hair for their profits.
Yo, totally. And, like, just so many companies in general profiting off of making you feel bad in order to sell you something. And so it's funny to me that, you know, whenever merkins were popular, I guess, in, like, the fucking 13th, 15th century or some shit, like... That, like, there was at one point an industry of selling pubic hair to people.
Right.
And then now we have an industry of getting rid of people's pubic hair. So it doesn't really matter whether you have it or not. It just matters about how, again, like, how socially acceptable and normal you are. When clearly that's dictated by some other means that are not, you know, that don't include you.
Definitely. Wow, I hope every one of our listeners is Googling merkins right now.
Yeah. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I really did not think I was going to talk about this today. Like, I thought about this podcast all day, and I don't know why I didn't think about talking about merkins. Like I should have really, it's crazy.
I can say with certainty that it is my favorite surprise of the week.
Pubic wigs.
Yeah, learning about merkins.
I kind of want to, you know, look into some, maybe, I wonder how many companies there were, you know?
I wonder if there's any now. Can we bring the merkin back?
Oh, we are bringing the merkin back.
Who was the main exporter of merkins in the world? Who was selling the most pubic hair in the world? I want to know.
Great question. Can I add body hair to other parts of my body, though? Like, are there, like, arm hair merkins or, like, mustache merkins?
Clip-on eyebrows.
There has to be a thing. Because, you know, you can get, like, your eyebrows tattooed on. Like, our eyebrows, the only kind of hair you can tattoo on yourself.
I wonder if anybody has pubic hair tattoos. That is a great thought.
I'm kind of interested in getting pubic hair tattooed just on my palm or something.
Amazing. Just celebrate the pubic hair. Lift it up. Make it visible.
At some point, we should talk about how it's thought of as being dirty and to be more, you're more susceptible to STIs and things like that, I've heard.
When actually I think it's the opposite, because pubic hair is there to protect you from external vectors of disease.
Yeah. I heard all sorts of misinformation, like how if semen got trapped in your pubic hair, it could somehow get into your vagina and you could become pregnant.
Yeah, but no, I definitely think that pubic hair is considered dirty, and I still sometimes feel that way about my own pubic hair. Not like I want to remove all of it, but I'll be like anxious about like it traps sweat or like smells. Not that I actually think it's dirty, but I still have that in my mind.
For a while recently, I was trying to grow mine out and fluff it up and see how
how
fluffy I could make it.
How fluffy could you make it?
I don't know, like an inch and a half. Pretty fluffy.
Wow.
I've also tried to fluff up my pubic hair.
Yes.
With like combs and things, because like my shit grows in like little tufts. Mm. So it's like, it doesn't even, like, you know how like when hair kind of blends together and it just looks like a more natural, like, one unit,
homogenous toupee.
Exactly, like when you have like curly pubic hair, it just looks like you have a bunch of little beads. It's like a tundra, and that shit, you know, I feel like when you're used to seeing that, like, straight hair is, like, more attractive, is, like, you're like, man, what the fuck? You're, like, looking down, and it's like, I'm gonna have fucking ants all over my shit.
Yeah, I bet there are kids straightening their pubic hair, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I think it's definitely, like, some internalized, like, anti-blackness, or just, like, even if you're not black but still have curly hair, it's, like, just the mentality that we get from constantly being shown that, like, you know, having, like, straight hair and, like, nice, like, high cheekbone-ass features and shit like that, like, that's, like, the ideal, and that's the standard for beauty and shit. It's gonna make a lot of people feel insecure.
Yeah, definitely. The next question that we like to talk about is, when do you remember having this question? So I think we've all touched on that a little bit, when we felt insecure about our pubic hair. But yeah, when do y'all remember having the question, why do I have a hairy penis, or whatever genitals we all happen to have?
I feel like it was, I mean, honestly, I'm gonna say, I feel like it was around the same time that this person's asking this question for themselves. Like, I was about in that class, because that was when I had my first sex ed class, was like fifth grade. I mean, because I don't really exactly remember when I got pubic hair, but when it happened, I never treated it as not normal. Like, to me, it's like, it's hair, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's growing out of me, like, it's supposed to be there. I don't know why necessarily, but it's supposed to be there. And so it's like, for anybody who feels like, you know, like, hair is like, it's like, you know, dirty, or it's gonna make you susceptible to harmful shit or something like that. Like, so if you have a young person in your life, you know what I'm saying, just like letting them know that like there's nothing that your body is gonna do like on purpose. Like, your body does stuff on accident all the time, sometimes hurt itself, but like your body doesn't usually do things to hurt itself. And if it hurts, that's one thing. That's something you gotta get checked out. But if something is just happening and you might not know why, if it doesn't hurt, you honestly shouldn't worry about it. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, your body only has its own best interests in mind, at heart.
That's pretty good general advice.
I don't know that I really know when I first started getting it either. I was thinking about the other day, I vividly remember some markers in getting breasts. Like, I remember having no breasts and being really envious of people who did and being excited about that, and then having some and being like, oh, do I need a bra? And then sort of being like, oh God, what, like, stop, like, stregonona, like, please stop growing.
Stregonona.
Like, too much pasta. But I don't remember the pubes. Like, I remember being in first grade, maybe, kindergarten or first grade, I was in one of my first French classes. And we were all reading a story on the floor, and a friend of mine said that I was hairy like a monkey because he saw my leg hair, which really scarred me.
Wow.
I'm sure. We all have those moments that, like, some kid said some offhand thing, and still in our 20s and 30s, we are thinking about that comment about our body.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought you specifically meant we had those moments where someone has called us a monkey, and I'm like, yep, I know I am.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe that too.
Yeah, but I don't remember getting pubic hair.
I do. I have a really vivid visual memory, which is, like, I usually think more about, like, things people said to me. But I remember standing in front of the mirror in my bedroom, which was, like, my baby furniture, like, my dresser with a mirror on it. So I was in elementary school, and, like, looking at my pubic hair and, like, kind of trying to suss out, like, I wasn't horrified. I didn't think I was sick or anything, but I was kind of like, what's the deal with this? Like, something's changing. Because I think I did know about pubic hair, and I had some sense that, like, children's genitals are different from adults' genitals. But I don't think I had the sense that, like, fourth, fifth grade was when I was going to change from a child to an adult. I was like, I am still a child. So what's the deal with this new stuff? So yeah, I definitely don't remember being scared, but I was certainly curious,
skeptical, and
surprised. Yeah, a little skeptical.
I really respect that you were a child, being like, I'm a child. This shouldn't be happening to me.
Yeah, no, I felt that for real. The same with my period, as we talked about in other episodes. I was like, this is not my time. Like, let me be a kid a little longer.
It's like you had already lived life once.
Exactly. The other memory I had about pubic hair, which is a later memory, was when somebody else touched my pubic hair for the first time. But I remember the first time he put his hand inside my underwear in Anderson Park in Montclair, New Jersey. Because
everyone had a hand in their pants in Anderson Park.
Yep, I sure did.
Everybody had a place where they had to go, where they went, when it was outside to get a hand, either put in your pants or to put your hand in someone's pants. Like, let's not play this game.
Glad I'm not alone in that.
Your parents had it, their parents had one.
Side of the train tracks, half a bottle of vodka, rocks in your pants.
Come on.
We're all there.
The beef with the picnic table. Everybody got one.
Yeah, it's true. Wow, okay, this is great. So, I was in my park. And this boy was putting his hand into my underwear. And as it was happening, it was like a slow motion moment. I suddenly realized, like, is he going to be grossed out by my pubic hair? I had, like, not thought twice about it because I had never, like, exposed my pubic hair to anybody. So I was suddenly like, oh, what's about to, like, what's his reaction going to be? And, like, I didn't know what to say. So I just, like, let it happen. And then he touched my pubic hair and was like, oh. And then he said, like, oh, I forgot. Like, he knew, but he forgot to expect that. And I think I kind of felt the same about him. Like, I knew that, I mean, judging from my Clarence Thomas anecdote, I knew that people with penises had pubic hair, but it was also kind of a surprise. And I think that kind of speaks to how puberty education can be so gendered, and we forget, like, that people need to know not just about their own body, but about all kinds of bodies.
Wow, yes.
And it, like, was fine, but we were both just kind of like, whoop. forgot. Like, wasn't expecting that. So that was an interesting moment.
That, and I think people have an assumption of whatever it is, there's an assumption of something being normal. And it seemed like you had your version of normal and he had his, and they were at conflict in that moment, but you were also both like, well, gotta get over this now.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, this makes sense, but wasn't super prepared.
Like, that's still based on, like, the expectation for, like, women in general to be, like, shaving off, experimenting with different, you know what I'm saying, different body hairstyles, whereas there's pretty much just a standard for boys and men, where it's just, like, one thing you do. It just goes down there, and that's it, even though that's not really true, either. That's not, like, reality.
And it's also different. Like, gay male communities might have different standards than straight male communities or within different cultural practices.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying it's not exactly. It's not really real, but yeah.
You know what? Now that we're on the subject of normalcy for men or people with penises, I, at more than one point in my life, was with a partner whose pubic hair I thought I understood and knew. And then found out deep into our relationship that they had been trimming and shaving and sculpting. And I had no idea.
Manscaping, right? That's the whole thing.
Pubic hair, I thought that I knew. Like, what? Like, wow.
Well, because, like, I'm in the relationship comfortable, not doing shit to my shit. Just like, oh, we're in this together. Like, we're both free as a bird. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I haven't, like, done anything in a while. And I was like, what? You've been doing stuff?
Yeah, I think it's much more of a secret for penis people that they landscape their hair. I think, like, people with vaginas, it's expected. You can talk about it. There's lots of jokes on, like, I always go back to Gilmore Girls because that was the show I was watching as a kid. There's lots of jokes about, like, Brazilian bikini waxes or whatever on, like, TV shows for young girls. But there's not any or much less cultural mentions of people landscaping. I'm using landscaping because of manscaping. Of people removing hair who have penises. And, like, I don't know if it's actually less common or if it's just less common to talk about.
I think it's more or less common to talk about because, nah, we was definitely doing it. Let me tell you.
Do you, I don't know if either of you watched Friends, the episode, I think, where Ross is shaving his pubes and it goes out the window, flies out the window at the hotel. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think you're making this up. Wait, his pubic hair flies out the window?
Am I making this up?
I feel pretty sure.
He's shaving his pubes, and maybe it's an entirely different show or whatever. They're shaving their pubic hair and it falls into the bath mat, and then they go to shake it out the window and it, like, flies into the mouths of a bunch of women in their friend group or something like that.
Good God. I've never seen this episode, but this sounds like potentially like a nightmare situation.
Well, that's not on Friends. That's way too raunchy for Friends. There's no pubic hair and mouths on Friends.
I remember watching that maybe in middle school, whatever it was, and being like, I had seen a penis, I had done things with penises, and I was just like, oh, and also, like, their ball sack can have hair. It's very interesting. Seems hard to take care of and shave.
That reminds me that another big memory of pubic hair conversation for me was the website FML. I feel like half of those stories were about finding someone's pubic hair in a bad place. Like, on your soap in the shower after you put it all over your body or, like, in your bed. Like, I don't know. I really, like, a large percentage of FML stories. And for anyone who was not familiar with FML, it was a website where people submitted stories that were unfortunate and then said, fuck my life at the end. Yeah, I really was like, oh, pubic hair gets around. Like, people have a lot of surprise pubic hair stories.
Yeah, I missed that website.
I mean, I still don't quite have it down, the strategy of trimming and then disposing of the hair. I still don't really, like, I remember being so ashamed that I was doing it when I was living at home that I sort of swaddled it all up in toilet paper so that it just looked like toilet paper, and then I threw it in the trash. And I also remember my mom telling me I could not flush it down the toilet anymore because it was going to clog the toilet, and feeling like, oh my God, I've been found out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what are you supposed to do with your pubic hair? Where does it go?
Garbage.
So I used to experiment with shaving mine as well, just because at times I thought that it was unruly. And by the time that I got to be like 15 or 16, I'm honestly proud to say this, by the time I was at that age, I was like, I need to treat my pubic hair the same way that I would treat hair on my face or on my head. Like, I just, like, if it gets to a point where I don't like how long it is, I don't like the way that it feels or something like that, like, I can just cut it off. It's just hair. It grows back. It's just there to do the same thing that hair in any other place my body would do. Because the feeling of, you know, just shaving hair off of any part of your body, you know, I don't know, when it happens for the first time, it's like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels mad different. So it's like, and so, I don't know, so I personally never, I feel like I never truly got used to the feeling of having no pubic hair. That shit is, to this day, uncomfortable. Like, I need to have at least a little bit some. In the time where I didn't have any, that was great. But when I started growing it, it needed to be there.
Horrible.
That's what my body made it clear. It was like, it needs to be there. Because if you shave it off, I will make you understand that it needs to be there. So it was like, I realized that it's like, you know, sometimes you can get uncomfortable when it was like way out of pocket too. I could just, you know, cut it down a little bit. But it played into a larger truth that I feel like I'm learning and relearning over the course of my life, which is everything is about balance. And you want to try to find an equilibrium in every single thing that you do, not too much on any one side, you know, of the spectrum.
Well, I just love that, like, deciding about what to do with your pubic hair, not based on aesthetics, not based on social norms, but based on how it feels to you, like, that you could just decide, how do I like it? Like, how many young people are asking themselves that question about their pubic hair?
I feel lucky for that, because while I still have many, many issues with my, like, mostly male friend group growing up, that still, like, you know, carry on to, like, up to this moment and then moments after this, like, what we were, I will say, was, like, supportive of just experimentation with our bodies. And we all wanted to know what we were doing, what each of us was doing and shit like that. And just because we thought it was funny, for one. But then for another, it was just, like, we really just enjoyed being very, very close to each other. Because we were all, like, creative. And I feel like it really made that shit better, which it obviously it does, but we understood at that age that it made it better, and we just also felt like nobody else at our school understood us, so it was like, it was, we would like just like love to talk about that shit and just try to tell like the weirdest or funniest stories about shit we were doing with our bodies, and then, you know, that led to us doing a lot of shit with our bodies together, which like led to like, you know, just some of like my first like queer experiences, which I didn't really realize they were at that time as such, but they, you know, were like
that's so great.
It's such a sweet and playful way to like deal with puberty. It's like, wacky stuff is happening. It's so much more fun to talk about it than to go through it alone.
Yeah, it's really beautiful that you had that. I think that that's a really good thing to hear when you're young, maybe, is like, you can talk about this with your peers. Like, there is nothing more fun now for me than talking about my body with my peers and also reminiscing about my body with my peers.
Yeah, no, I definitely count myself as extremely lucky. And I remember that we would all count ourselves as lucky during that time, because we were convinced that nobody else was doing what we were doing. But now I'm like, damn, maybe other kids were. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Definitely.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, this is reminding me of my first time shaving my pubic hair, which I remember very clearly, because I definitely was like mostly not shaving, and I've mostly throughout my life not removed my pubic hair. But during late high school, I was kind of like, let me just try this. I shave other stuff. Let me like figure out what's going on down here. And I stayed in the shower for so long, and I was like half upside down for so long trying to look, that I passed out after my shower. I fainted, and EMTs had to come.
Holy shit.
Because I was like upside down in a hot shower. I don't know. I kind of have low blood pressure anyway, so like heat for a long time. I don't know, but I just like had my head between my legs trying to like look at what was going on with my pubic hair. And yeah, I fainted in my kitchen in a towel.
You could write a really amazing short story about that. I just need to let you know.
Definitely.
That'll make a really good short story.
Oh, thank you. And then as you said, I was like, this is kind of interesting. And then it started growing back. I was like, oh no, never mind.
You may have to go through this every few weeks.
Miserable.
Yeah, it's like, this is horrible.
So the final question is how would you answer this question for a child?
I will say that hair is there because it needs to be. But it also can be cut, just like the hair on your head. Just like any hair on your body. You can cut the hair on your body off at any point. Your eyebrows, your hair on your head, the hair on your arms, the hair on your legs, your eyelashes. You can cut it all. Although if you're going to cut your eyelashes, don't use scissors because you don't want to poke yourself in the eye. Please don't do that. But all hair grows back. And hair, as I'm sure you've probably gotten some idea of by now, is very, very important in our society. And so I would encourage you to look up maybe like the history of you know, hair down there and just like understand maybe how you feel about it, because a lot of different people over the course of time have had a lot of different feelings about it. And I'm just going to let you know that if, you know, maybe like your hair is growing back into your skin and something gross is happening there, there's totally like, you know, like, treatments you can get. And see, you know, you have it easier than me now because you can just look it up. You can look up exactly what you need. And I couldn't do that. I didn't have internet. I mean, like, we did, but it was bad. But regardless, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, if it seems like weird, or if it seems like confusing maybe because of some reason that we didn't go over in this podcast, if you haven't listened to this podcast, like, if it's like different, you know, than the hair on other parts of your body and you're confused, or maybe it's just itchy or something, or you just don't like the way that it looks, like, all of that is fine. You know what I'm saying? If you want to do something with it to change it, you can do that. It's okay. It's yours. It's your hair. If you want to keep it, you know what I mean? Like, obviously just keep it. It's not going to really change anything. And if somebody like acts weird because of how that looks, you know what I'm saying? Fuck that motherfucker.
Good advice. Yeah, I really love sort of the simplicity of your answer of, it's hair, just like it's on your head, it's there to protect a part of your body. If you want to shave it, you can, but it's totally normal. And everyone has a different feeling about it, so you're entitled to yours. And as long as, you know, you're able to sort of sit with it and not feel shame about it because it's something that is supposed to happen and is there for a reason, then that's great.
Yeah, I feel like if I heard that as a kid, I would be inspired to be like, well, what do I want my pubic haircut to be? Like, I've chose my haircut, now I gotta choose my pubic haircut.
What do I want my pubic haircut to be? Yo!
Can that be the subtitle for this podcast?
I've been trying to think so much about trends of the future, and, like, that could be one. Like, pubic haircuts, and then the whole thing is, like, you can't even see what it is unless you're, like, a privileged member of the club.
Yeah, you could get a fade.
Yo! Because rare shit, you know what I'm saying? And it's, or it's like, you can't see my pubic haircut unless you get on my OnlyFans, you know what I'm saying? Like, some shit like that. Like, you wanna see my haircut? Because people probably be doing mad crazy shit. Oh my god, my mind is buzzing now.
I might now start an OnlyFans and my handle might be The Merkin.
The Merkin Merchant.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
Once I saw somebody who had a tattoo of a man, like, mowing a lawn right above their genitals, and there was like a little bit of pubic hair.
Wow.
I was like, it was so smart. Like, I.
That's really fun.
That's wonderful.
So that's all you can do.
It's truly endless. So, Izzy, do you want to sort of combine mine and Pierce's answers into a sort of a consolidated, how would you talk to a kid about it?
Well, what I was thinking was just really emphasizing that as we grow, we start growing hair in lots of places, like we were talking before. Like, you really could grow hair anywhere on your body, and it's all fine. And some people, I wanted to also mention that it starts younger for some people and older for others, so whenever it starts is also fine. And that some people remove some of it and some people don't. And I think it's good to talk about, like, you might feel pressure to remove it. People might tell you that you have to. You don't. It's yours. I love what you said. It's just like, it's your hair. And I also love what you guys both were saying about, like, just validating the feelings. Like, if you feel weird about it, that's normal. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with your hair, but there's a lot of feelings about hair in our culture. So you might have some feelings about it. We've all had some feelings about lots of different hair on our bodies.
Yeah, tons of people have, like, have felt weird. You weren't the first person to feel weird about your hair.
And not the last.
But I will also say one thing that I was thinking about is if you are a young person and you just really need a why, the first why that comes into my head is it's because hair, what I've noticed is that hair seems to grow around the sensitive areas of our body or the vital areas of our body.
Yeah.
And it's when you think about protection, it's like we grow facial hair. We grow to keep sand from dirt and particles and shit from getting into the orifices of our body. That's why we have eyelashes. That's definitely why we have eyelashes. I remember reading that Campbells have very, very specifically long eyelashes because of how much time they spend in the desert. That's the way that they evolved. So I really think that applies to humans as well. Is like we have hair around the orifices in our body. That's why we have it in our ears, like you said, our nose. We have eyelashes. Why we have eyebrows, again, to keep sweat that congeals on our forehead coming down our head. And I like to think that, I guess, like our hair also, like on top of our head, it's like, well, it protects from the sun, and I'm guessing probably some of the more vulnerable parts of our skull.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really sweet thing to say to kids too, is like, if there's hair there, it means it's a part of your body that like needs a little bit of protection, so like treat it well.
Yeah, use it or lose it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that.
No,
genitals, use it or lose it. On that note,
thanks for joining us, Pierce.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yo, this was fun as hell. I had no idea what to expect. I'm kind of sad that we're done. I feel like I could talk about this for so much longer.
That was so much fun. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a like and follow us. You can see more about our organization at yestoconsent.org. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Yes to Consent. And if you have any young people in your life who might have questions, or if you have questions, send them along. We would love to discuss them.
Who knew you could have so much fun talking about pubic hair, honestly?
I mean, I had a suspicion.
Yeah.
A small suspicion. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is hosted by me, Rebecca Klein, and Izzy Abraham Raveson. Edited by Izzy Abraham Raveson. Original music by Austin Alfano. Artwork by Rebecca Klein and Jackie Soro. And a special thanks to the young people who asked the questions and inspired this podcast.